deliverance of evil that he went through. And his realization of God's goodness being extended towards him had led him to the conviction that God is good. That God is good. He's indeed good. That he does have our best interest in mind. That he is for us, not against us. That his ways are perfect. They're generous. They're helpful. They're supportive. That he is virtuous. He is honorable and noble at all times and in all ways. You know that a nationwide study shows 8 out of 10 people accept that Jesus died on the cross, and 52% believe that he rose from the dead. I was quite surprised to hear that. In other words, it did happen. You know, in history, those events did occur. Okay? They're historical facts. And this is what Mark McCrindle, a social researcher, said. From the marketing world and certain areas of the media, you get a sense that Christianity is finished. And it, which is Easter, is all about holidays and chocolates and Easter eggs. But 4 in 5 people accept the message of Easter, that Jesus did in fact die on the cross as an historical occurrence. But friends, believing that something has occurred, something that's true, is okay. But experiencing the effects of that something is far better. Yeah? And so, in talking about God's goodness being extended towards David in this context, he puts out a cry to people. And he said, "Hey guys, come, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him." The word "taste" here in Hebrew literally means to try the flavor of something. To eat a little so as to ascertain what that something is. When we taste something, we get to experience that something on our tongue, don't we? You know, those taste buds start to get tickled, and sometimes we have a negative reaction, and other times a very positive one. But the experience leads to a realization, an experiential knowing of what that something is. In other words, ice cream tastes yummy. Now you can put any food in there that you thought of. Going back to the story of the chocolate factory, we went there because you could have this audio-visual guided tour of the in the factory. And what happens, it led to this awesome going from one room to another, and it was tremendous. I mean, they gave us the history of chocolate itself and how the Spaniards brought it to Europe, and how from there it went to Switzerland, because François-Louis Cayer brought it and he started this factory. And then we got to actually smell and feel those cocoa beans. And we could just sense the stuff. And then they took us into this massive place where there's all this machinery. And they said, "This is how our chocolate is made. It goes through here and comes out here. And this is what you put in," and all that kind of thing. And then you stand in front of this conveyor belt with this glass over, and you just see these fingers of chocolate. Just rows and rows of them just moving past you, ready to be processed. You just, for some reason, I was stuck there for a while, just watching this. And then the tour ended. Now, if someone from the Cayer factory had come to me and said, "Gordon, I want to give you a test. I want to test you on all that you've heard. I want to test you on the history of this factory, on history of chocolate. I want you to tell me how it was made," I probably would have done fairly well just hearing some of the basic information. But no one came to me and gave me a test, did they? Why? Why do KM make chocolate? For information? So that we can taste it. Come on. What would chocolate be if it didn't find its way into our mouths? Hey? Seriously. God's goodness and His expression of it is true even in the midst of adversity, in a place of suffering. And David knew this. David knew a lot of adversity. And yet he could still cry out and say, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." God has never been faced with a catch-22 situation, people. He's never been forced to choose between the lesser of two evils or flummoxed into a decision that is anything less than completely good. Therefore, we learn to look for the spiritual blessings, signs of His presence and activity, even in the midst of trials, and search for His way in them. That's hard to do. I'm not saying that's easy. But that's what we seek to do. Because often spiritual blessings come wrapped in trials. It's one of those things. Now, there are many principles that we can draw from this metaphor, but may I just say something? It wasn't quite the end of the tour. We were led into a room and they brought out trays of chocolate. You know, all sorts, white, dark, you know, nutty, whatever chocolate you could have. And we had 10 minutes to taste as much as we wanted. The only problem is that Sarah and I had just, to make a day of it, at lunchtime we'd just been to Gruyere, to the cheese factory. And we'd had a raclette. You know what that is? It's kind of like you dip this thing in a whole block of cheese and you keep it just kind of melted and you keep on going. So, man, I barely got out of the place alive, I tell you. But that was it. You know, God wants us to taste and see that He is good. Friends, it's not just about knowing God. It's not just about believing that Jesus died and rose again. But it's about stepping into His love and His acceptance and His forgiveness. And in tasting and seeing that He is good. Just a few more things I want to draw from this verse, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Firstly, is that we cannot experience food or drink unless we taste it, right? Well, David says, "Taste and see." Taste and see. Well, how do we taste that the Lord is good? What does tasting look like? Well, if you read the verses following this, which I encourage you to do, go and reflect on Psalm 34. David tells us how to taste and see that the Lord is good. I'll just point them out quickly. One, fear the Lord. Seek His face. That's what David talks about. Trust in Him. Take refuge in Him. Walk in the truth. Walk in the truth. That's why I say walk in love, truth, and power. In other words, in the verses that follow, it says, keep your tongue from evil. Walk in the truth of the ways of God. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. These are the ways in which we can taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, some of us have done a barista course recently. Yeah, about 7 of us have been trained, as I said, to really help with experience a beautiful taste in a cup here on Sunday mornings. And I didn't realize how technical making good coffee is. I really didn't. And I was quite amazed as we went and they taught us how to do it. And And they did it and they tasted. We had various taste tests of bitter and, you know, all these different types of things, and sweet and all this kind of thing. And are there any coffee snobs here? Any coffee snobs? Okay, a couple. Yeah. I'm going to pick on you. Is that all right, Chanel? Can you determine between a bad and a good coffee? Crema? Yep. But if you went somewhere and you took a sip of the coffee, why would you say it's not a good coffee? Taste. Because you're a coffee drinker and you've been drinking coffee for a long time. In other words, you can tell the difference between a good and a bad coffee. Friends, I think the more we taste and see that the Lord is good, the more we will be able to determine what is not good. Yeah? And the last one. The better, the more pleasing the taste, the more we want to consume. And tasting and seeing that the Lord is good creates in us a spiritual hunger for more on Him and His good ways and His wills and purposes for us. And I just pray that we'll just increasingly in our lives, as we seek Him, as we take refuge in Him, as we trust Him, as we seek His face, that we will taste and see that the Lord is good, that we will experience His goodness, that we'll step into His love, His acceptance, His forgiveness, that we will know Him, that we will know Him. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You that we can know You. And we can experience Your goodness. Your provision. Your correction. Your guidance. Your protection. I just pray for a spiritual hunger for more of You. Thank You for the message of the cross, which is the power of You unto salvation. Thank You, Lord, for drawing us to Yourself. Thank You for transforming us, for bringing us into wholeness in every area of our lives. And Lord, I pray that as we fall into Your love, that we may be increasingly be able to express it to other people and tell them the great news, the message of the cross is great news. In Jesus' name. Why don't we just spend some time? We're going to sing Lead Me to the Cross again. And I just want to invite you. You know, there may be some here that you would like just prayer. It could be for anything, any reason. We would love you to give that opportunity for you to pray with someone. And so a few people will be up here by the piano. If you'd like to go up and then just share a little bit with them, if you'd like to do that, otherwise they'll just pray for you. Please feel free to do that. Let's stand together as we sing this song, Lead Me to the Cross.